Hello, everybody. Welcome to Jeanette's Autism Show. I've been off the air for a while because we've been very busy, but I'm really happy to be back with the show. And I've got a wonderful lineup today. Well, I've just got two people who are married and on the autism spectrum, and we'll talk about that. Not that that's hugely unusual, but they've done great things around love and relationships and autism. So we'll introduce them very soon, very special guests. And just if you don't know me, my name's Jeanette Purkis. I'm an author, I'm an autism advocate, I'm a public speaker, a public servant. I work for the government. I'm a mum to a little black kitty, and I love doing all this autism advocacy stuff. And this program is called Positively Autistic, Jeanette's Autism Show. And the Positively Autistic comes from the organization Positively Autistic in the UK, which runs is responsible for this show and a number of other radio shows. So check those out on Blog Talk Radio if you like this one. There's some other really good ones there. And I'll do a shout out to Tracy and Joe and Sarah from Positively Autistic, and let's get into this. So today I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by Anita Lesko and Abraham Nielsen from the United States, and we're going to talk about love and relationships and autism and marriage from their perspective. So welcome to the show, Anita and Abraham.
Thank you so much. We're happy to be here with you.
Thank you.
Oh, it's lovely. So I do have some questions which we'll go through as I tend to do. So Anita, can you talk a little bit about yourself for the listeners?
Yes, I got diagnosed at age 15 with autism. So I spent the first 50 years of my life never knowing why am I so different? Why do I not fit in anywhere? Why do I have all these unusual sensory problems? Why do I have everybody that I interact with, there seems to be some problem or another. And so I go through life like that. It didn't stop me from doing the things that I wanted to do, but it sure made things a lot more difficult. When I got diagnosed at age 15, it was like the best gift that I could ever receive to finally understand why I am me. I earned a master's degree from Columbia University in New York City, a master's degree in nurse anesthesia, and I've been working full time for the past 28 years as a certified registered nurse anesthetist. So I do anesthesia for surgery and everything, and I'm always in this. I've been in four different states over the years at different hospitals, and I've always been the only person on the spectrum. So I have to, deal with neurotypicals all day long at my job, and I come in the morning and punch in my time clock and put in my 9 or 10 hours that I work every day, and then go home. And it's not the actual job itself that exhausts me. It's interacting with all the people that by the end of the day is very emotionally, mentally draining to have to keep up with everyone and just kind of, quote unquote, fit in with the whole crew, but I do, and then I manage that and go home. I thought in my life that I was never going to find, even have a friend, let alone be married. So at this point in my life, being married now for a full year is so kind of still almost shocking to me that this has happened. But it certainly gives hope to everyone else on the spectrum that it can happen for them as
Yeah,
well.
I think it's wonderful. So, Abraham, could you talk a little bit about yourself too, please?
My name is Abraham Nielsen, and I'm 28 years old, and I got diagnosed with autism at age 2, and I didn't receive early intervention or any kind of early intervention. And I work as an AutoCAD draftsman at the Land Surveying. I've been working there for over 2 years, and I'm a happily married man, and I'm very proud to be autistic. And Anita, my beloved wife, she's the love of my life, and ever since we're married, it's almost a year ago, and this is pretty shocking to me that we're holding hands together across the table, and looking each other's eyes in a very romantic way.
Oh, that's awesome. And see, I'm not interested in relationships, so that's not something that is my experience. But I know for a lot of people, it does give hope. I think that, you know, you guys, not only did you get married, but you had a whole load of conference and an all autism wedding and things like that. So could you talk about your all autism wedding and what it involved and things like that? And I think actually when I do shows with more than one person, I should have done this before we started, but that's okay. I usually get that in the same order. So I've asked a question, then maybe Anita answers first, and then Abraham, if he's got anything to say, or if not, we'll go back to me, because it's just easier that way without saying, oh, who's going to talk now? So I reckon with the questions, Anita says her response, and then Abraham says his response, and that'll work well. So yes, just about your all autism wedding, if you could talk about that too.
Well, that evolved back in 2015. Abraham and I had just gotten engaged at Christmas of 2014. And I had already been invited to speak at an autism conference out in San Diego. And after we got engaged, I had called the conference organizer and asked her, what would she think about us getting married at the conference? And she thought that was quite a grand idea. So from there, the wedding planning began, and then it evolved to quite a big thing, because I think there was well over 200 people at the actual wedding. Wow. Then the whole entire wedding party, we had all decided to make it just everyone being on the autism spectrum. So that made it even more entertaining. And this whole thing attracted a whole lot of media attention. We're on People twice, Good Morning America, The Huffington Post, Fox News, ABC News, all kind of the one from the UK, several from the UK. Yeah. And but we were happy because it was helping us get our message. And we had decided to open our wedding to the public so that it starts changing the face of autism, that people don't just think one is for little kids. Yeah. That really is for adults, and that we really do, and not everyone, as you said, there are many people who have no interest in a relationship, but some, many who do, and those do, that yes, we actually do have, need for love and relationship and marriage like everybody else.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of unhelpful stereotypes around autism and even disability more generally, and relationships and sex and all those sorts of things. And I think to recognise that individuals are individuals, and that some will want one thing, another will want another thing, rather than those sweeping statements and that whole ethos that suggests we're all children, you know, that we're sort of innocents. And I mean, it's not helpful, and it also feeds into a lot of thinking around incompetence and how, you know, autistic people, well, we're not really quite grown up, so we can't do anything. And all of those thoughts are exceptionally unhelpful. And I think we need to respect people as they are, as individuals with their own needs. And definitely autistic people are certainly capable of love and, you know, all those things. I was told when I was diagnosed I couldn't do empathy, grief or love. And that's all three of those things, just rubbish. I can do all three of those things quite, maybe differently to others, but, you know, just assuming we can't all do it because we're some kind of robots, it's very unhelpful and insulting. But anyway, enough of me getting on my soapbox.
To what you said there, that when I hear that, like from therapists or counselors or psychologists or doctors or anybody, that just really, really, really just makes me so beyond frustrated and sad and angry and many things, because nobody has the right to say things like that to another person. Oh, you're never going to be able to do this. Mm-hmm. Like, who are they to say, make these kind of comments, or to tell a parent that their autistic child is never going to grow up to be anything? I mean, it's plain ignorance what I look at it as being.
And it comes with damage as well. Those attitudes aren't just unhelpful attitudes. They often result in people being discriminated against and not respected and not included. So, Anyway, on to happier things, hopefully happier things. You've been married for just over a year. So what's married life been like so far?
So, oh, I see Mr. Kitty. He's walking behind you there.
Oh, Mr. Furry. You're not meant to be on the fruit. Oh, look. Oh, that's okay. He'll be all right. If you see him knocking off any of my ornaments, let me know. That's funny.
I can see he wants to be part of the, you know.
Yes, yes. He likes to be included. Yes, but yes.
Our first year of marriage. Okay, so... well, we were like best friends before, and we're even deeper, more bonded best friends now. We do everything like together, so, and I know other autistic couples, they're quite opposite and don't do much anything together. We do everything together. I mean, we grocery shop together, cook together. Everything is like, oh, the only time about basically we're apart is when we have to go to work. See, unfortunately, then, yes, we have to part and go to work. But, of course, there's things like texting and phone calls that happen during the day to keep us well connected.
Yeah.
Abraham, I think, has grown extremely much so in the past year because he lived a very, very unusual, isolated life. And I opened up that door for him to step into the world and join life. And mentoring him, sharing my worldly wisdom with him. In this past year, he has gotten his driver's license. He just got his passport. What else? But all kind of things. But I make him do all these things himself to learn how to navigate the world and you know, do all that kind of is himself and become gain his own independence.
Yeah, oh, that's good. Do you have any thoughts, Abraham?
Well, Abraham, talk like you're just talking to me. Abraham gets sometimes with these things, he'll freeze up. Now, when it's just when he and I together, then he talks and talks and talks and talks.
Yeah, it's just a conversation, you know. That's how I see public speaking as well. It's not scary. You're not thinking, oh my goodness, there's 1,000 people watching me. You're thinking, I'm having an interesting conversation with all these nice people.
I'm going to look at him and ask him the same question. How do you feel in this past year? How's things changed for you?
My life has been very positive since we're best friend and lover and soulmate and husband and wife. And especially very positive, and I'm looking forward to our present and our future together, as always and forever. And we can't stop thinking about each other, and we're holding hands to each other, and thinking, what a great life we both have.
And how does it make you feel that you got your driver's license and all that?
Very strongly confident in gaining so much independence, understanding the world outside, and having common sense to me, knowing the workplace and people and societies and the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it's good things. Now, I've got a question here. You could quite welcome to say, no, I don't want to talk about it, but are there any challenges in your relationship that you're happy to share with the listeners? You don't have to.
No, actually, being totally honest, we don't have any kind of problems that we've overcome with our own relationship or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just outside things, but not concerning our actual relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We work together kind of like a team.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of both know what each other's thinking and doing. We have the same little, our autistic quirks, as I call them. And we both know... for example, if I was with a neurotypical man and I want to do like my routine things or my repetitious things, the guy would be freaking out. Like, what is this all about? What is it, you know, and everything, as opposed to Abraham, he has his things that I know what he needs to do and likes to do. And so we respect each other and it just goes with the flow and it's just part of our everyday routine without having to even say anything.
Yeah.
About it. That's the beauty of it.
And simply be very open-minded to each other and just learn, accept, even though we have so many common things and we have our different things and we look we look upon it as just like we want to be totally spontaneous and flexible, mm-hmm. and not to judge and just why we do different than why we do it differently.
Right, we accept each other, and that in itself is one of the biggest issues of a successful relationship. But communication is the most important aspect.
Yeah. And because we don't always communicate in the sort of traditional way, a lot of people judge that and they think it means intellectual disability or a whole range of other things. But actually, sometimes it's just about being with someone. And I really value that. And I think that communication differences is cultural differences. I always say it's like you're speaking German and the neurotypical people are speaking French. If you're in a room full of people who all speak French and you only speak German, you're going to be out of place, and vice versa. You know, you get a room full of autistic people and an NT comes in, they are at a disadvantage. And that's really important to remember, is that it's a difference. It's just the way we process things differently and we think differently. It's equally valid, and it's not that we communicate wrongly, because I understand what autistic people are saying to me. It's just we're different. I think, yeah, it's important to remember. But anyway, back to the questions. Do you think that your marriage as autistic adults differs from society's expectations of married life?
Well, here's an interesting thing. My whole life, okay, so of course at this point, I never even knew that I was autistic until I'm age 50. But so all throughout my youth and young adulthood and so forth, when I was in stores and I see the magazines for brides and weddings, I had never any interest to pick any one of them up. I've never actually touched one of them in my entire life. So I had no really inkling to know what actually neurotypical people, or at that time I just knew other people, I would just call them other people, what they were doing with weddings and marriages and everything. So I really had no idea what are any real kind of expectations of a marriage or a wedding. I learned a whole lot when we're getting ready for our own wedding, because then I did start looking at different things and getting ideas of how things all actually work at a wedding and so forth. But so I had no, and as we've been married and everything, we don't even, I guess I've never really thought of what is traditional marriage or anything. All we know is what our own little world that we live in, that we make ourselves happy in, and that's what all we really know. So I guess I've never looked at how our marriage compares to other people, because we just live in our own little happy little autistic world.
You
know,
marriage defines that two couple finally find each other as always and forever, not just as a wedding decorations or the wedding traditions, but also to symbolize for eternal bond, our love chemistry that we both have. And I look upon it, this is the most sacred church, the sacred things on the face of the earth, and we count our blessing every day, and the candlelight never end. It's eternity. Forever
lighten. Oh, that's amazing. That's a good thing. That's a very good thing. I know because I interviewed, I don't know if I said this to the listeners, but I interviewed you just before your wedding last year, and we had a lovely interview, and it was really interesting. And one of the things that you talked about was that Abraham had a lot of, I guess, pushback from your family about your relationship, and when it was a friendship that was okay, but when you got engaged that was not in their mind acceptable. So could you just talk about in relation to that, whether being married has changed the opinions of those people that were quite discriminatory and rude and told you you shouldn't be together, or if they're just staying with that bad thinking?
Well, one of the little things I'll share, there'll be more in the book that we're working on. On our actual wedding day, one of the family members actually tried to pursue stopping our wedding from happening by posting things on Facebook that they were going to do to stop the wedding and all this kind of thing. And it became very complicated. This was only hours before the actual wedding ceremony. Fortunately, with intervening from some other family members and very complicated situation, it was taken care of, and the wedding was able to proceed on without any glitches of any sort. And after that, since that point, how can I say nicely, we really chose not to have any more communication with those people who want to interfere and make complications in our own life. And I remember one of the things, we were at a conference in Manhattan about a year ago, and one of the women in the audience has said to Abraham, do you remember what she said to you?
And absolutely. I can remember the day at the conference. She said to me, it's not my responsibility to keep my mother happy. It is not my responsibility to totally depend on her. That means I'm the one who had to define my own happiness and pursue my own dream.
Yeah. I think that's very true. I think sometimes we think that we should be in contact with family and family relationships should be good, but sometimes, sadly, family relationships aren't good and family members are toxic and disrespectful. And then I always think you need to make your own family, and I guess Anita and you are your own family and friends in the autism world. Sometimes your actual family aren't really family, and sometimes your friends are. So, but I think that lady was totally right. You know, you can't be expected to fix everything in a bad relationship with a parent or a family member. They've got some responsibility that they need to look after, and you can't fix it, you know. And it's sad because we do have that thinking in society that we should be close with family, and we probably should be in an ideal world, but sometimes people don't live up to what they should be as family members, and that kind of ridiculous, petty nastiness about your wedding. I mean, what's wrong with love? What's wrong with two people that love each other getting married? That's a great thing. And I find sometimes people's prejudice is just unimaginable and silly. And I'm sorry that you had to put up with that kind of rubbish, but yeah, it's I guess you've got each other and, you know, you've got a very strong relationship, which is, you know, I guess important.
Yes, indeed. I mean, no one really has the right to tell another person what they should do with their life, how they should do it. But in particular, with two people that are autism, who could never even find a friend in their whole life growing up and everything, and then to have the opportunity to have a marriage and a relationship and everything, which is very remarkable, something that neither one of us ever thought was going to happen. So it makes it all the more special to us that we cherish it so much.
Yeah. And, yeah, I think it's so hard. It shouldn't be hard. But some people are just, they just almost don't think you're human. You know, they think you need taken care of and you can't make any decisions yourself. And I just look at some of the people in history who were almost certainly on the spectrum, and they didn't have that label. They were really successful and did amazing things. And I think sometimes along with the label comes a whole load of unwanted prejudice. So what would you say to people who think like that? You know, people who think autistic people shouldn't be married or in relationships or anything like that.
Well, I think that those people, you know, when I look at neurotypical people, I these days I'm going to make a big list. I'm going to get a paper and I'm going to write autistic and neurotypical. And I'm going to go down the list and write the things about what neurotypical people do that I would never do, that are like really mean things, and all the bullying that they do, all the thing they want to control people, and all of these things that they think that they're the superior people on this earth.
Or ask a personal question that is none of their business.
Because the people at work will frequently ask me personal things regarding like my autism thing that are beyond, and I kind of look at them like, are you for real? Because I can't even believe that they would have the audacity, really, to ask something like that. Because I would never do something like that. But people who think that a person, like neurotypical people who think that a person, whatever is the disability, whether it's autism or whatever it is, should think to themselves first that in their heart that they should have compassion, that to think that other person they're looking at or talking about doesn't get to experience life the way they do, and they should be so happy and focused on the fact that they're lucky enough to be born quote-unquote normal or whatever, that they should spend more time focusing on that than and just having compassion for other people who are not how they are, and just let those other people live their own lives and have the find the enjoyment that they possibly can, despite their disability of whatever it is, and just embrace the differences of human beings. I mean, nobody chose to be born autistic. Nobody chooses to be born with any kind of disability. But we're all come onto this earth, and people just need to learn to just embrace everyone for whatever, including their differences, how whatever it is.
And to accept the neurodiversity, regardless of what your conditions are.
Yeah, I think the one that really gets me is that concept that apparently autistic people are rude, and I find that very problematic because almost always, if an autistic person is rude, it's because they're miscommunicating or they're misunderstanding the context or something. It's rarely intentional. And generally, when an autistic person finds out that they've upset someone, they're really thoughtful and apologetic and feel really bad. When a neurotypical person wants to be rude to you, it's intentional, almost always.
Exactly.
And
you said it. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And they have that ability to manipulate and calculate and do all kind of things like that with concerning, you know, interactions with people and everything that I have no clue how to do.
Yeah.
But yes, you said that it was intentional of what they do.
Now, what role do you both, either or, think love and relationships play in helping autistic people increase their independence and have a fulfilled life?
Having the other person there as your constant best friend and support person, in a particular case with Abraham and I, yes, I'm a little bit older than he is, but for him, I've enjoyed being like a mentor towards him and enabling him to develop his own self of independence and self-worth and his self-esteem by I tell him what to do, how to do things for himself, and then he goes and he learns how to do them, which has built his self-confidence dramatically. So he has grown tremendously in this past year.
Certainly self-esteem. And I don't look at age, I look at your wisdom and your knowledge, and it's certainly very much experience.
Yeah.
I don't look at age as a count. I look as your fully understanding of the world that I need to catch up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And certainly for our own survival together.
Exactly. But I think two people being together, like I said, they can help support each other, help each other grow and learn and get out and experience the world a whole lot more than if they were just by themselves, might be too scared and just not have the.
And it's better to be out in the world than not knowing out in the world all in one room, because until you're outside and know what's going on, what is happening in the world.
Reality, yes.
Gain so much independence and self-esteem. That's important to be very open and to know fully aware of surroundings.
Oh, that's very true. So what kinds of things can get in the way of autistic people finding love and pursuing relationships and things like that?
I think things that would hinder people, of course, it could be transportation could be one. And I know a lot of people on the spectrum don't drive. They rely on public transportation. Mm-hmm. So that in itself could hinder where they're able to get to. The social interaction issue of being fearful of going and interacting with other people, going into social situations, I will admit to totally avoiding, in the 28 years that I've been a nurse anesthetist, one time I attempted to go to the annual Christmas party, and I remember I walked in and there was about 500 or more people there, and I was there for all of about 12 and a half minutes. And I turned around and just like slipped out the door and went home to the comfort of my own home and didn't have to interact with all these people and all of that. So there is a big hindrance to autistic people finding a relationship, and this is only my own opinion, but my own opinion is, for me personally, I know that I would never have been able to have a successful relationship with a non-autistic person. There's just no way it would work.
Yeah.
My opinion, I suggest to people try and find situations where there's other autistic people to try and find someone to, you know, to meet and to talk to and start out a friendship with.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's only my opinion. I mean, I know that there's plenty of neurotypical and autistic marriages. It also sounds like they also have many, 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 many problems with their marriages, but nonetheless. So that's like my two cents worth.
Yeah, yeah. Now, is there anywhere people can go to see your wedding, like the media for your wedding or anything like that, like a website where people can go have a look?
Yeah, actually on YouTube, I'll give you the link. There's a link that they can link. It's like a 15-minute wedding documentary.
Oh, I saw that. It was really good. Yeah, forward me the link and I'll put it on the promo page and then the listeners can have a nice look at that. Because I did see that. That was great. That was really good. Okay, so is there anything else you would like to tell the listeners before Mr. Kitty and I bid you farewell?
For relationships, for not only autistic relationship, for any relationship, because we've actually got comments when we speak at conferences, people in the audience say, the two of you need to write a book about for marriages, because the two of you are much more insightful than most people are. But, you know, the biggest thing that we feel is our biggest success is our time we spend talking to each other. Which it sounds like humorous to the outside world. Oh, two? What do you mean? Two autistic people can talk? But well, we do. Sometimes we can talk for up to like 6 or 7 hours, or 8 hours. Actually, run on a weekend when we have no other things to go and tend to. But to share with each other your innermost thoughts and feelings and fears. Sometimes people have fears that they're afraid to share with someone. Because they think that they're afraid, what's the reaction going to be of the other person? But then you find when you and we classify being intimate not only as far as what typically people refer to being intimate, but talking to each other and pouring your heart out to your innermost feelings. That's also another form of intimacy. Watching out for each other, that's something that we do. We take care of each other.
And fidelity.
Yes, being honest and true to each other, and just everyday little things. You know, Abraham does so many wonderful, nice little things to me for me. I mean, I'll come home from work. I told you I mentioned I had to fall at work. So my left ankle swells up since then. My right knee. I'll come home and sit on my recliner chair, and now he runs and he'll go get like a wet towel and wraps it around my ankle and puts the ice pack on my knee, and he'll get me a water and a little snack while I sit there and relax. Like, it's things like that make me like so happy and feel peaceful inside. all kind of just little acts like that for people can do for each other to take care of one another. I mean, it might sound corny or silly or something, but just living this pure, simple life, we don't even have a TV. That's pretty crazy. People are kind of shocked when they find that out. But we have all of our animals and being peaceful with the animals and all that kind of thing.
Well, it's been really lovely having you again on the show. If ever you want to come on again, let me know, because it's nice talking to you. And I think what you have to say about your marriage, about autism and relationships and things like that is really valuable. And I think, there's useful information in your experience. And there's a lovely example in your experience, which is a great thing. So thank you. Thank you for being on my show, and thank you for being who you both are. It's just lovely. So, it's goodbye, listeners, and I'll be talking to you with Alex Evans next week. Bye.
Bye, Jeanette.
Bye, Jeanette.